Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning once again, and welcome back to another edition of Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself, Frankenberry. Good morning, ladies. How are we doing?
Well, we don't know how we're doing. No, Carol, we're not doing pretty good. We actually do not know how we're doing, and here's why. We do not know how we're doing because this week, as in most weeks, we pre-record this show, which normally doesn't really matter much unless there's a holiday or some special day in between us recording and the airing of the show. Well, it just so happens that we are recording today on Election Day.
Yes.
Which means by the time this show airs, we will either have a new president or we will be rejoicing. Oops, sorry, did I say that? Sorry.
Yes, you did say that. I know who that was intended for. Thank you very much.
You're going to start things that way?
Oh, no, God. I'm just going to do that little drive-by, and then I'm going to let it go. I just want the listeners to know that the reason why we're not talking about the election is because we are recording at a time we have no idea what's happening yet because it's early in the day on Tuesday, right. Election Day, right, as we record this. But we are going to act as if the world has not stopped revolving on its axis and everything is fine. So that's what we're doing. And hopefully that will be the case. Another drive-by. Boom. Okay, done. I'm done.
And Jonna, I'm going to be kind and I'm going to offer no drive-bys of my own.
Because you're a good man, Charlie Brown. You are a good man. You're a better person than I am. Thank you.
Don't worry. I've already done my own stuff when it comes to drive-bys in other places, and you know that. So
I know. That's why I scroll past your Facebook feed sometimes.
Yeah, you don't want to listen to the song, the parody songs that I build, believe me.
And but can I just say this? You are so talented at that kind of stuff, even though I don't. Maybe I'm not on the same side of the actual content. Your talent is never lost on me. There you go.
And I do appreciate that. And my most recent one is pretty darn good. So, and believe it or not, I'm just telling you, I almost have 30 of them by now, by the way.
Moving right along.
All right, moving
right along. So you said something about Charlie Brown, and that brings up two things in my mind. I didn't see the Great Pumpkin this year because they changed who had the rights to it. Did you catch it?
Exactly. No, they didn't. Did they not run it? I think this is the first year that it didn't get run in like 30 something years.
No, somebody bought the rights to it, so it wasn't on network TV or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Seriously?
And so the second thing that Charlie Brown reminded me of, since it reminded me of Halloween, and then it reminded me that, Jonna, you were going to report back who you were on Halloween.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, the last time we were talking about it, it was a green dress and possibly buying some big things of lettuce and having lettuce cleavage and that kind of stuff.
I was so excited. So, yes. So I was either going to go as Melania Trump or green goddess dressing by wearing this green flowy dress that I had found in a closet with the tag still on, and I was going to stick lettuce in various areas of this green dress because sometimes I like to go as a double entendre. Well,
entendre.
Talk about wardrobe malfunctions. This is what you get when you don't plan enough ahead. I was getting ready for the little party, and I grabbed my green dress with the tag still on, cut the tags off, threw the dress on, and decided that I looked terrible in it, or it looked terrible on me. Take your pick. So I had to toss the green dress aside, which meant I had to toss away the whole green goddess dressing costume aside, because I only own one green dress, and that was it. That was it. Mm-hmm. Now, as luck would have it, I had not even intending to purchased a very conservative red polyester number off what? Amazon. I know. There was a reason for it. I just really needed to look good from like the bustier up for television. I bought this dress. Well, it turned out that it looked like a, you know, a dress that a first lady would wear, you know, a very conservative first lady. So I threw on that red dress. I threw on a Melania wig that I also got courtesy of Amazon. I threw on some conservative pointy heels, and then I worked on my accent, and away I went as Melania Trump. It worked.
And what, I thought I saw something on the front, like a white, like a heart or something.
Yes. So that people, because I don't trust people to know what I really was, I made a sign and I cut it into a heart shape and I pasted it to my breastises, and the sign said, please be best, because that's one of Melania's things, please be best and vote for my husband. And then I repeated that all night to everybody I saw.
Oh my God.
Yeah, another drive-by. Shut up, lady.
And it's so funny. I wish I could like maybe gulp, but since we're recording this hours before the end of the election, I can't. But anyway, it was a good time. Did you guys do anything special for Halloween?
Oh, absolutely not. I was perfectly happy, as always, sitting inside my apartment with the girls. So I was good.
Yeah. Carol, you're usually good.
Well, no, I didn't go to any parties this year, obviously. And, we did such just the weirdest thing for Halloween. So we were out in Pennsylvania and decided that our fake tree, Christmas tree that we have out there, it would be cool to flock it, which means to make it look like it has snow on it.
Oh.
So there we stood. We lit a fire in the fire pit outdoors on Halloween. We put Christmas music on and we flocked our tree for Halloween. So I said to Greg, you know what we are for Halloween? We're dressed up like two Christmas nuts. That's what we did.
Now, that's fun. But can you please say that word slowly or spell it? You flocked the tree? Flocked the tree? Is it?
Yes. So when you first said it, I thought for some reason the tree had done something bad and you were flogging it.
Flock. F-L-O-C-K. That means to put like this white powdery substance. You spray water on it and it's like turns to like glue and looks like snow on the tree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How very German of you. I like it.
What?
Yeah, no, I did absolutely nothing as usual. I had some things to work on and I wrote a few things, but I was very, very happy to just kick back in my apartment and take an extra day to make it a long weekend. So I was good.
Yeah. You enjoy doing that stuff. I had a nice time. It was just a small kind of like family-ish party, and that worked out okay. But then fast forward a couple of days, I learned something that I did not know that you would think we would know, because we all grow up in a time where, you know, firemen are our friends, right? And when things happen and people call the fire department, we don't really think anything of it. We, you know, we've seen the calendars. We know that firefighters are hot and they're like, we know, right?
Sure, I'll let you go with it.
But I told you guys a long, long time ago when I made the mistake of calling the fire department because literally there was a cat in a tree in my yard. And when I called them to say, hey, there's a cat in my tree, they basically said, hey, lady, we don't do that. Like, that's a fairy tale.
It's a cliche. You know
that? Myth,
yes.
Yeah, that myth is busted.
That's totally busted. Well, I learned another new, and I didn't know that. At the time, I was totally in shock that you couldn't call the fire department to come get a cat out of a tree. So fast forward, I don't know, 20 years, and I learned something else new about the fire department, which is probably even more embarrassing than calling them to get a stranger's cat out of a tree. So I was, and this one actually makes me feel a little bit guilty. The cat in the tree didn't. So, you know, I'm doing a little home reno, and there are things that I didn't anticipate, or I should have, but I'm just not paying enough attention. I got other stuff going on. And I have an alarm system at my house that's getting renovated, and it's connected to the fire and the carbon monoxide and all the whole bells and whistles, because I live alone and I live in fear of choking to death and nobody finding me for like 3 days until the raccoons eat my face. Anyway, So the contractors were,
indeed, yes.
The contractors were at my house, and I get a call from the security company, and they say, and I quote, "We've got a report of your fire alarm going off." Now they now the alarm company doesn't know I'm doing any sort of renovation, so they're acting normal. We have a report. The fire alarm's going off, and we had to send the fire department, they say. So now I think the person on the other end of the phone is expecting me to be like, oh my God, my house is on fire. And she gets a total opposite reaction. I'm in the car and I go, oh, okay, cool. She's like, she doesn't understand what's going on. All right. So long story short, I finally explained to her, I'm like, look, I have reno going on at my house. I'm sure it has something to do with that. You really didn't need to send the fire department, but I appreciate it. Okay. Click. I hang up. So shortly thereafter, I drive to my house. I was not far from it because I just wanted to check on the building, and I could not get to my house. Why? Because I did not know when the fire department is called to your house. Even if it's a false alarm, they can't just go, oh, okay, never mind. Let's back it up. Like, they got to do stuff. They have to do reports. They have to look around. They got to make sure. Like, they take up some space for a while. I did not know that. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I had John, I had an apartment burned down while I was in it almost years ago.
Wait, when was that? Did you know that, Carol? I did not know that.
Yes, it was, I'm trying to think, was it 89 or 87? Whatever it was, I was in grad school, and apparently the landlord had used an extension cord, for the refrigerator, and I had a couple of boxes between the stove and the refrigerator, and the extension cord had a crack in it, and I did not know that. Sparks, and a buddy of mine had happened to call me and wake me up. I mean, just out of the blue, you know, he called to ask me a question, but I was now partially awake, and when I, you know, was laying there in bed, I went, you know, I realize it's around the holidays, maybe, but why do I hear a Yule log? And so then I got up, and my kitchen was in flames, and the ceiling had already started to melt. And
I was in, your friend saved time, your life, Frankenberry.
He did. And at the time, I was still wearing tighty whitey, so that was a little embarrassing because it was December, and that was pretty cold. But sadly, because as I'm standing there trying to figure out exactly what to do, I didn't think about checking on my cat Bob. I had a kitten. Mm-mm. And he had run into the bathroom, and I wasn't able to get back into the apartment when 2 seconds after I walked out the door, I went, oh crap, Bob. But the floor had already started to melt, and I was wearing nothing but my underwear. So yes, I am very well aware that firemen hang around for a while.
Thanks for being
that
still
is
there,
a very good reason to make sure your smoke detectors are in good working order with batteries in them.
Yes. And I discovered, by the way, last week at some point, that they do work in my apartment when I burned bacon.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that is good to know. I just did not realize that when you have a false alarm, which is essentially what happened at my house, that, you know, they can't just back it up and say, never mind. Now I'm wondering, and I should do a little research, or maybe I should just wait a few days. Do I get a bill for that? Like, am I going to pay for that somehow, that false alarm, do you think?
No, you won't. But if you, I believe, like, if you repeatedly get false alarms, they can fine you. Like, there's a facility behind my house in Beacon that gets false alarms on a regular basis. And I think that happens so many times, they'll fine you.
Now, Jonna, while they were there, did you ask them to check for any cats and trees?
No, I asked them to check for raccoons and trees. No, the truth is I could not get to my house because the road was blocked off due to my false alarm. So, you know, like, as a good, you know, what's the name of a person who tries to sneak away from something that they don't want to get pointed the finger at for? I don't know. Like a good false alarmer. I just backed my car up and acted like it wasn't my house.
You know what? I'm thinking about a cartoon right now, and your tires turned into little feet and they slowly stretched and kept.
I didn't want to be seen. You don't see me. You don't know me. And I just did an 18-point turn and away I went.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you don't want to run into your neighbors, especially if they can't get to their own homes because of you.
Yeah, I know. Because it's a very, I mean, in my defense, it's very kind of narrow down there by where I live. Like, you know, even on a good day, two normal-sized cars can barely get by each other down there. But so that was exciting. But the good news is the renovation is moving a little bit faster now, which is making me happy because I'm still in my parents' basement, in case anybody's wondering.
Is the new structure framed in?
So the addition is framed in. Next, the roof, I think today, as a matter of fact, the roof was supposed to come off so that we can start building the second story inside the existing structure. So that's very exciting for me. So that, and that's a big project. That's like, you know, you don't want anything to go wrong. You don't want any more lockdowns. You don't want any crap when the roof is off your house because you need to get that puppy back on.
Yeah, exactly. So, especially now as it gets a little bit colder and it's, you know, possibly wet. Yeah, you want them to get that on as quick as possible.
Yes, indeed. So that's where we are. So it's an exciting week, although we can't, like I said, maybe next week we'll be having a different conversation because we'll know what we don't know as we are recording this show today in terms of whether the roof is on my house and whether the roof is on the country's house, so to speak. Boom. That's like number four.
I know. And I'm being, Carol, I want you to note how good I am being right now.
I am impressed. I am so impressed.
Thank you very much.
Me too. And I'm the one poking you. I'm just poking that freaking bear.
You
are poking the bear. But just in case anybody's curious, by the way, if anybody is a fan of Smash Mouth, yeah, you can go to my blog site.
I did a version
of Walking on the Sun.
Oh, nice. Well, what's your blog site?
What do you mean, what'd my blog say?
What's your blog website name?
Sorry. I thought you said, what did my blog say? I don't know. It doesn't speak to me. It sings to me. It's frankenberriesattic.com. And that's ATTIC, as opposed to Google. When I ask my phone to look for it, it apparently thinks I'm addicted to Frankenberry.
Love it.
Yeah, seriously. It brings up attic, ADDIC, every single time.
That's funny.
That is hilarious.
By the way, do either of you have a really bad segue?
I was reaching for something in the last 30 seconds here. Nothing's coming.
Carol, you are the queen of bad segues. The queen.
I know. It's disappointing there, Miss Pesky.
You know what else I'm the queen of?
What?
I'm the queen of being wise with my money and keeping myself out of unnecessary debt.
Nicely done.
Oh, nice. Very nice. That was actually a good cigar. A good one.
Yeah, I think it was weak, but that's all I got for you today.
All right. Well, listen, I'm actually really excited to have this guest on the air. And I know that we've kind of gone away from, we were doing sort of a series of really pandemic-centric type guests to help people through the pandemic. And we're sort of on the other side of that right now. But this guest could be both. She could be totally about how to get through pandemic, especially if your income has been affected. But she's also fantastic for if you just, you know, find yourself in a place where you want to be more financially secure. We've got a debt-free life coach coming up after the break. We're going to be talking to Lauren Grootman. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly because it's either Grootman or Gretman. I think it's Grootman. She's a planner, a budgeter, like I said, a debt-free life coach, a mother, and an author. And when we come back from the break, we are going to find out how we can get our butts out of debt and then some.
All right, that sounds good. You've got Happy Hour with Jonas Spielbore and Carol Pesci and myself, and we shall return with our guests coming up soon. So stick with us.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here this morning on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And segment number two, as always, features one of our wonderful guests. And we have another one waiting right now for Jonna's introduction.
Yes, I am very excited that we have this guest with us today because she's going to talk to us about one of my very favorite subjects, money. Honey, on the line with us, we have Lauren Groupman. She is a debt-free life coach and the sanity-saving mother of six, count them, six, behind laurengroupman.com. Lauren helps women create financial freedom for their families by sharing simple, easy ways to take back control of their money, live within their means, and create the simpler, happier life they've always dreamed of. She's also the author of The Recovering Spender, How to Live a Happy, Fulfilled, Debt-Free Life. We cannot wait to talk to you, Lauren. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So I'm going to say something. I got to come out and say this right off the bat. As excited as I am to have you as our guest, part of what you're going to talk about to me is a four-letter word. And that four-letter word is budget.
Yes.
So I don't know if you want to start by talking about budget, but I'll let you decide. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? Like, how did you become the debt-free life coach?
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, I can relate a lot to what you're saying about the four-letter word budget, right? Like, it makes a lot of people want to puke because they're like, that means I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. It's like a bad word. That means I can't live my life. That means I have to tell myself no. Yeah. And yeah, I can totally relate to that because I, you know, was a spender, hence the topic of my book, The Recovering Spender. I grew up in, you know, an upper middle class home. Like, we could spend money whenever we wanted to. Like, my mom would take us shopping all the time. I didn't really, you know, think twice about it. And then, you know, as I went out on my own and, you know, started having children and all of that, I did the same. And what I didn't realize is that, you know, if you're not making the same type of income that maybe your father made growing up, you can't spend the type of way that you were raised. And so I got into a lot of debt, about $40,000 worth of debt. But I didn't even know I was in that much debt. Like, I would open up a credit card and like use it. And then I'd be like, oh, that credit card doesn't work anymore. I'm going to get a new one. And then I'd use that one. And I'm like, oh, shoot, that one doesn't work anymore. I should get a new one, you know? And I was like a tornado. Like, and I'd be like, I'm just missing things and I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm just disorganized. And so there were, you know, there were a lot of excuses that I had. And I'd be like, I'm just not the budgeting type. You know, don't yell at me. I didn't know better. Like, I was never taught this stuff. You know, those were kind of my excuses. And so it all kind of came to a halt when I had a IRS agent pounding at my door.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, that was fun. And he had a letter for me that said, hey, you're being audited and you owe us $17,000 by next week.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, oh, wow. Well, I don't have $17,000, you know. And at that point, I knew that, like, I was kind of juggling credit card bills, but I didn't really know what was going on with my finances. And at that time, I had two children. And I was living in, like, I had a house built for me, and I had an Audi and a Cadillac in the driveway. And I was, you know, my makeup was perfect, and I was living the American dream. And wow. I knew that I was struggling with debt, but I was like too scared to look almost.
Yep.
And so thanks to this lovely IRS agent, that was kind of my bottom. I was like, you know, I think that I need to kind of start looking at this. And so that night I like laid all my credit card bills out and I was like, oh my goodness, I have $40,000 of debt.
Wow.
And
wow.
A lot, you know, through my, I've been teaching this stuff now for over a decade, about 15 years now. And this scenario is so common that people don't know how much debt they're in. Because it's scary. Once you reach a point of like no return, it's like easier to just kind of close the door on it, you know? And so now I was $40,000 in debt with an IRS agent telling me I owed another $17,000. Wow. So that's when I got really serious about it. And ever since then, I got really serious about it. I kind of came up with some systems and got out of debt in 18 months.
How did you do that? Sorry, keep talking. Yeah.
I think we'll get into that, right? Like some systems that I developed, and I've been teaching those to like hundreds and thousands of other busy moms like me for the past 15 years, and been able to use my debt and my bottom to help so many other women. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
I always think, Lauren, that when people have lived it, when they've walked the walk, they are so much better able to talk the talk, you know, when you have actually been there, which is why I never understood how men could become gynecologists, but forget, that's a whole different story. But you know what I mean? It's like, and I think probably all of us in this collective room have, you know, had a similar thing happen where, you know, when I was married, I started losing my credit cards that I was paying dutifully every month because I didn't realize that the credit card companies don't like it when you're maxed out and you're only paying the minimum amount. So they could just cancel your cards on you. I mean, we've all had, and Frankenberry, and I know that you, you're a large part of your audience is women, but Frankenberry, you know, can relate to a lot of this stuff too.
So I think I can. I've already done one bankruptcy, Lauren.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I was on the verge of that.
But you pulled your head out of the sand, and I'm going to guess that that is step one. So how can we help some people? Let's say people are relating to this as you speak. How can we get started helping them help themselves?
Well, the first thing that they need to do is learn how to be honest with themselves first, right? So a lot of people are unwilling to be honest with where they're at. They're going to continue to walk around and shop, and pretend like, you know, everything is okay. And I'll tell you, there is so much shame and guilt that hides us from the truth. It sucks, you know? Mm-hmm. And one of the big things, like, I was in debt, but and I talk about this in my book. When I was in so much debt, I was driving a pink Cadillac with Mary Kay. Okay. Now, picture this. I'm driving the pink Cadillac. The Cadillac gets repoed from my driveway.
Oh my God.
As it's getting repoed, all of the teenage boys from the neighborhood on their skateboards attach themselves to the back of the tow truck and ride it all the way down the block. Like, all my neighbors are outside. Like, what's all the big deal?
Oh, so, like, my God.
I was so ashamed of that I made my husband take the keys, and I couldn't even go outside to bring the keys to the tow truck driver because I was hiding in my bedroom looking out the blinds.
Wow.
You know, those are the kind of things that prevent us from being honest with ourselves. And that's just my scenario. But, you know, it's the telling our kids that we have to take their iPhones away. You know, those are the kind of things that, like, really suck. So, you know, you've got to be honest with yourself. And that's why, like, I try to be, you know, I have a coaching community as a part of my website where we get together once a month and we do a Zoom call. And I just want to be like that voice of like, it's going to be okay. You know, you can tell me anything. Like, you can tell me you lost your house and I'm going to be like, okay, cool. Let's move on. No shame. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, like, I sold my house via short sale. I almost had to foreclose on it. What are we going to, sit in this feeling the rest of our lives? Or are we going to move on? Come on, let's go.
Right.
You know?
Shame doesn't help any. What good does shame do? It does no help whatsoever.
Right. But it keeps people stuck in that cycle. Right. Really, really bad. So that's the first thing people need to do is, like, let's talk about it, get it out. If you need to go see a therapist, go for it. But you got to talk to somebody about it. You got to get out. You got to deal with it and start being really honest with yourself. So that's step one.
Yeah.
Lauren, I have a question. This is Carol. I have a question for you.
I still shower with my clothes on, Lauren, so I understand shame.
Oh. So, Lauren, I have a question for you. Do you have any background in psychology, or did, by default, have you learned about human behavior? Because there has to be, there's an emotional, psychological component at times to people being too far in debt. Now, there's times when there's just pure lack of income, and there's times when, as you admit, you overspent for your means. But have you handled that aspect? It has to be part of what you do.
Yeah. So actually, I have a background in addiction counseling. I was a drug and alcohol counselor. Yeah, I was a drug and alcohol counselor.
Perfect.
before I had PIT. And I'm actually in recovery myself. So I have been in recovery for many, many years. And I continuously go to therapy myself because I think it's just really good for me. And so I continuously just learn about self-care and I pass it on to the people that I help. But I'm a big advocate with my clients on you need to take care of yourself. You need to go to therapy if you need to talk to somebody. You need to surround yourself with people that aren't going to drag you down. But yeah, I went to school for psychology and I was a drug and alcohol counselor before I had my children. So yes.
But that's kind of related because part of is addictive. Like, look, I mean, I don't know about you, but during this pandemic, I spent even more time on Amazon than I normally do. And I spent a lot of time on Amazon. It's like Christmas at my office all year round. But that was therapeutic for me. And that, but fortunately, I can afford to do that. But if you can't afford to do that, that's going to compound your problem because it can be addictive.
You know what it comes down to is it's an external solution to an internal problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you buy something, it's going to make you feel better on the inside, but only for a little bit. And then that goes away. So you got to continue the cycle. And that's why in my book, when I talk about being a recovering spender, you know, my natural habit is to buy something when I feel sad. But what do? Right. As I talk about in the book that I put a fence around my money is I take that budget and it, you know, it used to be this thing that made me feel like yucky inside. But now because I put it around my money and I say, you know what, I'm going to give myself a budget so that I actually feel freedom because I know that I don't like the feeling of overspending anymore. Like I don't want to feel that way. That when I actually, you know, set a plan and I stick to it, I feel better about myself and I feel good and I don't overspend. And then I can spend money on the things I really want to spend to, like taking my kids to Jamaica. Like that's really what I want. So, you know, budget for me is freedom now. It's just a different way of looking at it.
Wow. That's actually genius because I was not even joking when I said to you at the beginning of this interview that budget to me is a four-letter word, but I just, the word itself makes me itch.
Yeah,
because I don't like it. But you just you just turned it around because to me it's constraining. But you just explained it. No, it actually can be liberating because it allows you to spend without feeling shame, or allows you to do the things you want to do eventually.
Exactly, it just tells your money where to go, so you can do the things you really want to do, and then stop spending on stuff you really don't need, so that you can't do what you want to do. You know, so I always say, you know, stay within your fence. That's a thing I always tell my people. Stay within your fence. You put a fence around your money, right? Like like you put a fence around your yard so your dog doesn't run away, your kids don't run into the yard. You put a fence around your money so that your money doesn't run into the Amazon account by accident. You know, you put a fence around it and you're good. And then you can play around the yard, you can have fun, you can play with your money. If you gave yourself $50, you can go do whatever you want. But then when you're done and, you know, and it's okay. And then you can do what you want to do with the rest of your money, go on vacation or spend the money on Amazon or go out with friends. You know, it's just all about having fun with the money that you do give yourself so that you're not crying in your bathroom eating cookies because you spent all your money and you don't know where it went. Because I've been there too.
What? Lauren, what would be more important if you can place a different importance on it to somebody who, so let's say you've got somebody who now is what you were then. Let's say somebody, you know, is a lot in debt and they've got their head in the sand. Is it more important to first put yourself on a budget after you take your head out of the sand? Is it more important to put yourself on a budget, or is it more important to do the things to start making more money? Is one of those more preferable over the other?
Well, you can do both at the same time, but I think that the big thing you need to address before you start doing anything is you need to get, I always tell people to get your why set in stone first. So why do you want to be doing this? What is your goal? Like, set that in stone first. And what are you doing? Like, are you doing this because you want a bigger house? Are you doing this because you want your kids to go to college? Are you doing this? You know, you have that vision in your head first. Because then, you know, I always tell people, like, tape it to your bathroom mirror, like someplace where you see it. You know, that's a common philosophy with goal setting and, you know, making vision boards and things like that. Mm-hmm. So get that set in stone. And then when, you know, when I'm teaching people, you know, I have a couple online classes, and one of them is called Flip Your Debt. And then with my Flip Your Debt, it's an online course, and we kind of go through this strategy. But the first thing is to get yourself organized, because if you're not organized, let's say it's like you're going to start making more money, but if you don't know what is going on and you're just going to start making more money, I can guarantee you're going to start spending more money too. So right. I think people should start getting their themselves organized first. See where they're at. And I'm a huge proponent. I can't tell you how many people that I work with have hundreds of dollars of like subscriptions that are coming out of their accounts that they don't know what they're paying for every month.
Drives me crazy. You're right.
Yep. Like, oh, I've been paying for cable for $100 a month. I don't even watch cable. It's like, how do you not know that you're paying $100 a month on cable? You know, so there are so many things that you can do to set yourself up for success that you can like find, you know, you could go and negotiate with your boss and get a, you know, a raise where you're making an extra $1,000 a month. And that's great. But you can do the same exact thing by not going to your boss and give yourself the same raise by canceling some stuff, stop eating out every night, and maybe cook at home and, you know, take your debit card out of your Amazon account. You know, it's the same thing. You're just not going
to
work.
Lauren, is one of the early things you do with people to go back and look at, okay, let's look at the past 6 months or the past 3 months.
Yep, we go through the past 3 months.
To help people really see.
Yep, I have them go through the past 3 months and categorize their spending and figure out where they're leaking money and what they need to cancel, where they're overspending. I know one of the big places I tackled when I was getting out of debt was my grocery bill. You know, I had like, you know, two small children at the time, and we were spending like $1,200 a month on groceries. I was like, these kids barely even eat anything. Like, what the heck? And now I have six kids and we spend $1,000 a month on groceries, which honestly is a little bit too much for me. It makes me a little uncomfortable, but they just won't stop eating.
That damn growing thing.
I have three teenage boys right now, and I'm telling you, like, I cannot, I'm like, you guys, just enough. But anyway, so we spend about $1,000 a month and we don't eat out like ever. But when I was in debt, we were spending like $1,200 a month and then we're eating out like $500. So we're almost spending like $2,000 a month eating like on food.
Wow.
And people, I mean, I've worked with people that are spending like $4,000 a month on food. I'm like, because they're throwing half of it out. They are shopping at Whole Foods and like throwing half of it out and eating out and delivering. They don't know what they're doing. You know, eating out like $100 a night. I'm like, well, you can't afford that.
I have a friend who shops at like one of the big box stores for groceries, and you can't buy like 8 ounces of carrots. You got to buy a 5 pound bag of carrots, that kind of thing. Right. And he's always like, here, you want some limes? You want some lemons? You want some carrots? You want this? I'm like, I'm good. I got enough. Well, it's going to get thrown out.
Right.
I'm like, my husband and I both pride ourselves in is I really, and I think this comes from, I grew up in a household where money was tight. I always had food, always safe, always a roof over my head, and always loved. So very grateful for that. But money was tight. And I pride myself in not wasting food. I really, how can I repurpose these leftovers? It's honestly rare that we will end up tossing food. We'll find a way to make good use of it.
I get very angry with myself if I end up throwing away something at the end of a week because I haven't eaten it yet.
Yeah,
I don't like to be wasteful like that either. But also, Lauren, we could go through, we could stay here and talk to you for hours because I'm just loving, I think that you're going to change people's lives by just enticing them. At least the first step is to get organized, because I'm still excited about the fact that you reminded me that I love breaking up with my automatic subscriptions. Like on my iPhone, when I get a notification that I've just spent $5 to auto renew some BS app, you know, that I've never ever used, and I finally go in there and I get rid of it, I'm like, I won. I love that. And that's an easy thing that you can do. So what I think we should do, even though I don't want to wrap up, and we do have to wrap up, you've got a great website. And by the way, sidebar, Lauren has been all over television. She's been all over the Today Show, the Rachel Ray Show. Like, people rely on her for her systems. And you lay it all out there, and you have plenty of opportunity on your website for people to get to know you and work with you. And your website is laurengrutman.com. That's G-R-E-U-T-M-A-N. You could also Google her book, The Recovering Spender. I was going to say Splendor. Don't ask me. That was a Freudian slip. The Recovering Spender. And you've got meal planning. You've got coupon tips. You've got budgeting, how to make extra money, how to get out of debt. All this good stuff on laurengrutman.com.
Yep. It's I'm truly honored to be able to share my information, and hopefully my darkness, you know, can lead some light to some other people.
And Lauren, that's a beautiful way to say it. Can people find you just by your name on all social media? Do you go by Lauren Grutman?
Yep, they can just Google Facebook me, and they'll find all my social media. And all my social media is linked right from my website as well.
That's awesome. Well, like I said, we did not have enough time with you, so I hope you will come back.
I would be honored to.
That would be fantastic. And thank you again, Lauren Grutman from laurengrutman.com, the debt-free life coach. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thanks, Lauren.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Much appreciated there, Lauren. And we've got more of Happy Hour on the way. Segment 3 still to come. Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with John and Carol on 92.9 WBPM. And welcome back one more time this morning here to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Hello.
Frank and Barry.
Ah, there we go. I love that part. So it was nice to have Laura on, and she definitely gave us some insights into, you know, helping yourself try to stay out of debt, or at least starting the process, which is a lot of what we talked about. And she's got some good stuff, and she helps a lot of people.
Well, I think so many people can relate and be helped by what she does, because, you know, look, this, a lot of us overspend, and a lot of us live beyond our means. And if you don't think you do, like my eyes got open during this pandemic, because I was not, for example, going out to dinner nearly as much as I used to do, because restaurants weren't open for the longest time. And even now, you know, there's been a damper on my social life in terms of going out to restaurants. And I did not realize until this pandemic how much I spend on dining out. Now, I can't wait to get back to where I was. But
yeah, you're defeating your point.
But it does make, I actually, and I'm kind of being facetious, because now that I'm not spending as much on dining out, I'm like, wow, I've got all this extra room on my credit cards. And I kind of like that feeling as much as I enjoy, you know, going out and spending. You can spend a lot of money two people going out to dinner, especially now that prices are being raised because of the pandemic, et cetera. So I think a lot of people, whether you think you can benefit or not from what she has to say, you can. You definitely can.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And I love, she has really, like, I found her very encouraging, because it's, you know, you started right out joking about your, you know, budget being a four-letter word. And she had a way of very quickly giving you a different way to look at it that you're like, ah, okay, you know what, that makes sense, that how you're going to feel when you get a handle on things, when you stop hiding from what you know is an issue, address it and choose what it is you really want long term over what you think is going to make you feel good in the short term, but that just keeps you in a trap. And I look forward to checking out her book because I think she's got great energy and she speaks from a place of having been there. Like, it's not just some expert who's always had it easy. I mean, she was in rough shape.
Yeah,
I still can't believe that she said she got it, that $40,000 covered in 18 months.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
But I think it's possible. And she says she has systems, and it really is. It does really start with pulling your head out of the sand and getting organized. And I got to be honest, sometimes that can be the hardest part because we don't want to face the things that scare us. And a lot of times, right, if you're in debt, look, if you've got an IRS agent knocking on your door, I guarantee you, you live in fear day by day over your finances. You're just not admitting it to yourself. And speaking of that, not that I want to change the subject, but I'm going to ask your opinion on this real quick. I think I am subject to an IRS scam, and I'm going to tell you why, unless this has happened to some other people. But so I paid my taxes early. I mean, I got an extension because I usually do because I'm a business, but I paid them early for my extension, and I got a letter back from the IRS, and it says, and I haven't acted on it yet, it said, you know, we got your tax return, which makes sense, right? Because I sent it in. And they said, but before we can give you a refund, we need you to contact us and verify some information. And you're going to need to call this number, and you're going to have your tax return in front of you, and we're going to ask you some questions, and we're not going to process your tax return until you call us. Now, in all my years in paying taxes, the better part of 39 of the years I've been on this planet, I've never had the IRS write me to say that I have to verify who I am before they process my return. Never, scam. Ever, ever. Total scam, right?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely sounds scam-like.
It looks very real. It's in a traditional IRS envelope. It the timing of it is obviously good. But I'm not doing crap. Because, you know, I have to pay taxes. They cashed my check. So as far as I'm concerned, you processed my tax return. The check is cleared. So I'm not calling them, right? You wouldn't either?
No, and you said it says about a refund. You don't have a refund coming. You said you paid.
Yeah, I paid. So unless I overpaid, which has happened in the past, but still, I never, even on the years that I have overpaid, nobody ever wrote me to say, we need to verify who you are before we process your taxes.
No,
that's not a phone call to make.
But now I want to turn that in. I want to turn that into the FBI or whatever, because, you know, I'm probably not the only one that they're doing it to, and it looks... It looks like it's in a real envelope. It looks like it's on real letterhead, but I don't trust it at all.
Maybe it's the same people that bought Cheez-Its on your Sam's Club.
Those sons of guns. That's who it probably is. They've got a copier in their little Cheez-It den, and they're copying IRS letterhead and sending it out. They're after me. Yep. Sons of guns.
Yes, with orange fingers.
Right? I need a glow light. I'm going to put it under a black light and see if it shows up.
There you go. Like,
letter.
Like that commercial where even a cat has some of the cheese on its face.
Yeah.
So wow. Anyway, all right, good. I was of that same opinion. I said scam, but I thought I would run it by you too.
Since we're the experts on the topic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You're the experts on every topic as far as I'm concerned because you're my friends.
And I'm not going there, Spillboard, because I'm waiting for you to hit me with another drive-by when it comes to experts.
Nope.
Oh, don't invite her.
No, I did great. I did like a half a dozen drive-bys. I feel good. I feel good right now. All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said, let's get out of here.
Yeah, before Frank and Barry comes and punches you in the neck.
Before he gives me a counter drive-by.
Yes, I could do that, but I am going to hold myself back there, Miss Spillborg.
All right, but let's give your blog post one more plug. To be fair, it's Frankenberry's Attic, as in the room above your ceiling, not addict like you. I'm addicted to Amazon.com.
Yes, that is my spot. So, and I get some notice there. It's not a lot, but it makes me happy. So, and it keeps me writing. I'm good with that.
Yeah, and you're a talented writer, Frank Barry. You really are.
Well, I appreciate that.
Indeed.
All right. Well, listen, we will indeed wrap things up here with Happy Hour for this Sunday morning with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. And thank you again to Lauren Grootman, who I did find out, by the way, the nickname Groot happens quite often, is mentioned quite often in their house, and they are big fans of the Guardians of the Galaxy. But thanks again to her for joining us, and we'll be back again next Sunday, 8 o'clock right here on 92.9 WBPM, and we will talk to you then. Have a good weekend. Make it a safe one. Take care.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 92.9WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.